Praise the Lord. There we go. Praise the Lord. We're beginning to get something. Praise the Lord. Fire in the hole. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness gracious alive. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Cheryl's got a couple of testimonies.
Actually, I have three testimonies. Actually, four.
Wow, praise the Lord.
They're passing out the little yellow slips. This is all about the Christmas benefit. This is our 16th annual Christ Haven for Children Christmas benefit. Last year we raised $173,650. We bought Christmas for 11,942 children, 220 families, and the children, it was children, teen moms, and elderly, the 220 needy families, and then we did paid for Christmas dinner for 133 homeless at our Daily Bread up in Denton through a Presbyterian church. So we help a lot of people in a lot of different ways. Christ Haven actually is a Church of Christ situation. The way all of this happened 16 years ago, my daughter and I sang for a living, and we were talking about we had too much stuff and we were going to like go work in a homeless situation or a soup line or something. We were going to go do something because we had too much stuff, and instead of giving Christmas to each other. And that particular Sunday, my pastor at the time talked about how Christmas is for children. And so I said, So on the way home, I call her. I said, hey, my pastor just said that Christmas is for children. Why don't we do something for children? Like, you know, find a group somewhere and, you know, give them a party, buy them some presents or something, raise some money. And she said, that sounds good. The very next day, I got a Christmas card from Christ Haven for Children. I lived in Colleyville, and I was like, well, how did I get this? God knew my address, obviously. And so I called her up and I said, hey, I've got this Christmas card from Christ Haven. Why don't we do this? She said, that sounds good. So I call Christ Haven the next day and I say, hey, can we do a Christmas party for you? And they said, yeah, we'll give you a wish list. And we were going to raise the money, you know, and give them a little party. So we got all that lined out. And then the next day we were singing at Will Hoyt's in Grapevine, and the district manager for Walmart came in there, and we'd done grand openings for several of his big stores. And I said, hey, Chad, and I had a little yellow slip of paper I'd typed up about what we were doing and why we were doing it. I said, you think you could help us with this? And he said, sure, I'll give you $1,000. And that's how it started, because that first year we raised $16,000. But last year, $173,650,000. I mean, that's a lot of money. It's an awful lot of money. Okay, so far this year, we have raised with money, gifts, and gift cards. So far, we have $43,258. And if you add that to my grand total of $960,700 for 16 years, in 16 years now, drum roll, we've raised $1,300,958. Yes, we broke a million just this week, actually. So that's my first testimony. My next testimony is Kim went with me yesterday. I want them to give me back my tax exempt status. So give me back my tax. So I make sure we email everybody, we fax everybody to get the money back, because every penny counts. So Dick's Sporting Goods owed me $9.56, and we were going over to Costco, and Dick's was across the way. So I said, oh, good, we'll go in there. And they had sent me a letter, and they said, we can't do it through the email or whatever, or through your credit card, but go there. They'll give it all back, re-ring it up. You'll get your tax exempt, my $9.56. You just got to love this one. So we go there. They give me all my money back, and then they re-ring it, and two of the sleeping bags were, instead of being $40, were $11, and I got $67.03 back. Thank you. It was worth the gas driving two blocks over there to do that. Okay, so then the next thing we did, Grace and Mike are so generous that they buy us our electronics every year for the kids. I think Gracie saves her change all year long just to be able to do that. And so she has a friend through work that she had done that gets special deals for. So we were looking for 6 iPod Touches. And they're expensive online. And she, through her friend, had found them for $196. But my Costco girl here, Kim, she found them for $149.99. So she called them to be sure we could get the 6, which they said we could. So we went there. We saved $273. That's a praise the Lord. Every penny counts.
Praise the Lord.
Then one of the girls, Lexi, wanted a Kendra Scott gift card. Kendra Scott is designer jewelry. She started her company in Austin with $500 of her own money in her apartment with a little baby, and it grew. Well, she has stores everywhere now. She's on Amazon, and we've bought some of the stuff for different girls at different times, and they're not cheap, okay? So because I bought the gift card, that puts me on their mailing list. And so they mail me this thing that says their story, and I read about it, and I get down to the bottom of it, and it talks about the philanthropy that they do. I went, ears go up, something free for kids. And so it says, just fill this out, send this to us. So I sent it to them. They wrote me back, and they said, oh, we're forwarding your stuff to the Southlake store. I said, great. Southlake store contacts me, Liz Cordes over there, and she's the head of the humanitarian projects, and she says, okay, I'm going to call you on Friday at 2 o'clock. I go, great. You know, so we're emailing back and forth. She's contacting me. So she contacts me a few minutes before 2 o'clock on Friday. She was very on top of it. So I tell her, I already sent the little yellow sheet. They had all of that info, so they knew what we were doing. And so I tell her what we're trying to do, who wants what. I tell her we have girls from 11 years old up to 21 years old, because we have some that are in transitional college cottages, some that are in college, because they support them all the way out, and they help them. They don't just like throw them out at 18 and say, you're out of here. They help them, because if you think about it, like one of the girls, Kiera was in there from the time she was 2 years old, she and her brother. And Kiera went to dental school, and at 21, she finally got out of the system. But she couldn't just be thrown out there. She didn't know how to live in the world. She'd been raised in a safe situation. Her life was not good where they were. They were taken out of the home. Yeah, she saw her mother every once in a while, but it wasn't, so she never got to go back in the home. She stayed at Christ Haven. Christ Haven Senator Dental School. She's a dental tech. I always tell people, I say, hey, if you need your teeth fixed here, talk to Kiera. Anyway, she's a sweetheart, and I'm sure she'll come to the program as an alumni and everything, because we were such a part of her life, you know, since she was a little girl. But so Liz tells me, okay, I used to live over in Woodland Heights somewhere, and she said, I went to school with some of the Christ Haven kids. I said, really? She said, we are going to give each of them from 11 years up, girls, a gift in their favorite color of whatever. And in fact, we're probably going to come to your party. And I said, praise God. You know, that's great. So you're talking, this could be anywhere from $600 to $1,200 worth of jewelry that they're going to give to these kids. I mean, this is fabulous. It's just more than fabulous. And God's so good. He just keeps on giving, and he hasn't stopped, you know, and I'm just grateful. Plus, another thing I don't know if anybody's noticed other than me, I started this October the 1st. That's when they sent me the sheets of their wish list. By October the 13th, 13 days, I was done shopping for Christ Haven. Not saying that I'd received everything. I still had people that were getting gymnastics scholarships and gift cards and things like that. But I'm saying, as far as me purchasing, in 13 days, this has never happened ever before, I was done purchasing for them. I'm done purchasing for the ministry kids, for like a little foster kid we're involved with. His stuff's underneath there. And then even my own grandkids, everything's done except for just some little toys for the oldest that's out hunting. I mean, everybody's bought for. And so went last week and bought for Justin Community Closet. They service 3,000 people a month. They got started because Justin Elementary did not have clothes for some of the kids, so that's how it started. So they are also the ones that want the toys, and I've already filled up all my paperwork. Dallas Children's Charity last year gave us 642 toys, and this year I've asked between 1,000 and 1,500, whatever they have extra. And he knows that what we do. He lets us go first. We show up on a Sunday morning before church with a trailer or something, and extra suburban sometimes, and they have sacks all over this ballroom at the Sheridan, just sacks of toys at different ages, and they fill up our truck, and they take a picture of all of us, and we smile, and we leave and say thank you. and then we get out here in the parking lot, and we divide all the toys up, Legos or guns, you know, Nerf guns, dolls, whatever. And then we divide that up between Justin Community Clothes Closet, Grace. Grace just sent me their list yesterday. Grace had their Christmas cottage. Grace does South Lake. It's called Grapevine Relief and Community Exchange. They do South Lake, Grapevine, and Colleyville. They service 2,700 children and 700 families during this Christmas, okay? So she sent me the list that she wanted, and they have moved. If you need to deliver anything, you can talk to me. But they said they wanted, for the kids, they wanted Imaginext, Hatchimals, Paw Patrol, Propel drones, Discovery toys, Chauffeur Image toys, Star Wars, Fisher-Price toys, VTech, Leapfrog, Barbie cars, board games, but no Candyland or Chutes and Ladders. They have too many of those. And then the teens, which is where she wants me to concentrate, and that's what she said on the bottom. As always, our teens are hardest, so anything you can think of would be great, which is we do a lot of the same stuff. The PJ bottoms, the fleece bottoms, they love those, both boys and girls. Propel drones, BeFit watches and sets, diffusers, oils, salt lamps, bedroom accessories, teen and kid bedding, full and twin, both boy and girl, large makeup sets, which we do that, luggage, teen board games. And then for family gifts, small microwaves, large dish sets of eight place settings, small deep fryers, panini makers. I really love paninis, if anybody wants to get me one. I'm teasing. But I do love paninis. They're really good over at Cafe Bakery. And small food processors, hand mixers, blenders, skillets, griddles, any kind of George Foreman. They love George Foreman. Rice cookers, steamers, pots and pan sets. Okay. So they're who I'm going to next. So I'm already bulk shopping. I just did, like I say, Justin Community, Yeshua, and John and Joshua took it over there and gave it to them. And then we'll be also giving them the toys, and then there's some more things we'll be distributing to them. Grace, I'm shopping for them Monday. I have $2,810 of Kohl's cash, so I'm starting on Grace, getting some of the teen things. Like, I'll go in there and I'll buy a whole rack of 100 fleece bottoms, you know. And so they're ready for me. They have an extra cashier. And then the Sergeant Ruby at the Salvation Army in Denton, and I don't know if y'all even know this story. The Lord told me several years back, and I don't even know how many, six or eight, whatever it was, he told me to start giving to Salvation Army. And I said, okay. I said, which one? There are four in the area. I said, Dallas. He said, no. I said, Fort Worth. He said, no. I said, Arlington. He said, no. I said, Denton. He said, yes. So I said, okay, I'll give to them. So we started giving to them. And it's we've had some interesting stories. Like last year when I went up there to deliver to them, I'd been to Five Below and bought a lot of the bottoms that they like, because they service 3,000 children and I think it's 750 families. It might be more, maybe 1,000 families now. So they, when you go into their warehouse, they have these big bags, red bags, and they have the name of the family, the children, they have all kinds of things in the bag for the family and the children. So when I came in that day, this one woman was all upset saying, we don't have four coats. We're short four coats. We got to have four coats for the little girls. I said, what size? She said, 10, 12. I said, well, I have some coats here. One, two, three, four. I had exactly four coats. I mean, God knew they needed four coats. So, you know, he's always doing it. He's never, and that's what he tells me too. Every year he says to me, have you ever been short? And I say, no, I've never. Sometimes I go, God, I need some money to come in. And he'll go, have you ever been short? I go, no. And so, in fact, life's really good. Christy's really abundant right now. She tells me she's going to pay the rest of the way out of here. So I say, Christy's my daughter. Anyway, so Salvation Army, they need T-shirts, blouses, joggers, hoodies, makeup, cologne, perfume, watches, and headphones. And they like toys. So if you'd like to participate in any of this, you just on an offering, just put children or Christmas, either way on it. And we appreciate it. That way it goes into the Christmas benefit fund. It's a wonderful thing. You can come to the party. A lot of people, the staff, we feed the children. You can come be part of it, and it's really wonderful. Even Miss Peggy back there, she washed dishes one year. We don't do that anymore, but she was a delight because she helped us out when we needed some help. But I just want to thank everybody that's helped already give the $43,258, and more is coming in because God, he just keeps giving. Because he wants these people to be blessed. He wants them to be. All these kids, they're Christ Haven for Children, they're abused, battered, you know, neglected children. They can't be adopted. Their families are in the penal system. They're all colors. Everybody's all colors in all this whole thing. It doesn't matter. And then grades. I mean, last year they had a woman that spoke because we went to some kind of party they had. I don't know what it was, but we went. And this woman was, she had two little toddlers, and her husband had been beating her regularly and almost killed her. And they took her in the Grace system and got her into all kinds of counseling to get over the battered part of it. Got her a job, got her an apartment, got her a car. I mean, they really, you know, they do a lot. They don't just give Christmas cottage. Yes, they do that. Their organization's huge. It's about $3 million, I think, that they have in their deal. That they have a food pantry, they have a clothing store. You know, they give them when they come in the system. They give them so many little tickets, like lottery type things, that they go in there and they can have so many items. And so, you know, they do a lot. They do a lot for a lot of people. And so we're part of the blessing. And if you want to be part of receiving the blessing also, well, just participate.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amazing. A few minutes ago, I was walking around here and shaking hands with people, and this young couple back here in the back, and I shook hands with them, and I said, where are you from? They said, from Atlanta. I said, oh, praise the Lord. That's great. They said they were from Atlanta. So I came up a little bit further and shook hands with my other young boy here, and he's from Florida. And so then I come over here on this side and over here and shaking hands over here and come up on this lovely young couple back here. And when I said, where y'all from? They said, Atlanta. I said, oh, wow. So we got people from Atlanta and Florida here today. Praise. We got, okay. So right over here we got people from Mississippi. Well, wherever you're from, we are glad that you're here. And somehow, before this is over today, we believe in this church that Jesus is the healer. And before you leave today, somebody that is authorized, that you'll see them stand at the end of the service, and you'll get with these people. And you have any kind of a need, whatever it is, you'll get with one of these prayer teams. And they will pray for you. And it's something that we have learned. Now, this is kind of amazing. That, it's more than amazing that sin and sickness are directly related. Now, I've caught a lot of flack from a lot of people. In fact, I even had a pastor tell me the other day, actually told another pastor, which told me, he is a pastor of a big, big, big church here in the Metroplex. He said, I listen to Pastor Thurman Scrivener quite often and said, some of the things he says is really hard to stomach. There is some things I teach that's hard to stomach. You know, whenever I tell you that your children are sick because of your sin, I've had people that will just, I've had pastors that will tell me, Thurman, you know that can't be true. In fact, my own cousin, when I spoke in his church here several years ago, and I spoke about how if you've got small children and you're having problems with them, with heart problems or whatever, if you got any kind of problem with your children, you got a problem between you and your wife. And people don't like to hear that they're the culprit that's making their children sick. But I've proven it over and over and over so many times, and so people that come here, a lot of them, as they walk out the door there, they see Jenna. Jenna was a little girl that we prayed for a year and a half with no results. In other words, we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And if anything, and in fact, here's something else, too, that we've also learned, that when you pray for somebody, you must pray believing with no doubt in your heart. Now, that's scripture. Anybody know that scripture besides me? You know that scripture, don't you? Yeah, and so when you pray, you must pray believing that God hears your prayer with no doubt in your heart. Because he says, if you don't believe I can do what I promised in my word, then you are double-minded and unstable in all your ways, and let not that person think they shall receive anything from me, the Lord. Amen. So if we don't get anything from God, what are we going to be able to do? Nothing. You're absolutely right. So when we pray for a little girl like little Jenna out there, it didn't make any difference who prayed for her, me or one of the other team members. We always guaranteed the folks that the child was healed. All right. And so, you know, and it didn't work. Now then, if you pray for somebody and it doesn't work after a week or a month or so, usually people will back off and say, well, it's not God's will to heal this one. But it's always God's will to heal every one of his children. It's never, the answer to God's healing is never no. It always yes. And so if he always says yes and he never says no, then if we're praying for this little girl and she's getting, it appears, worse for a year and a half, where is the problem? Is it with God or with us? It's with us. It's always with us. And so we find out what the issue is. And, of course, just like I told that couple, I said, you know, after we couldn't find it, I said, y'all go to God. And I told the husband now, see, he's the spiritual head of the home. God put him in charge of the home. And the husband's supposed to be the one that leads the prayer for his family. The husband is supposed to be the one that leads the children and the wife in Bible study in their home. He's the one that's supposed to read it. Now, a lot of you guys, I'd like to call some of y'all wimps, because some of you guys are not out there doing what God called you to do. You know, you're saying, well, you know, that's okay, honey, you go ahead and take the kids to go to Sunday school or church or whatever. That's not for me. I got to spend time on the lake. I got to catch some fish today. You know, and so, you know, that's like that guy that I heard, a guy one time that said that he told his wife that she'd take the kids and go to church. He had to go to the lake and try out his new boat. And so he went to the lake and he's out there running around through there, and all of a sudden his cell phone rang. And so he stopped right quick on the lake so he could hear it, and he said, yes, who is this? He says, God. He said, this is God? He says, what do you mean, Lord? What am I doing out here on the lake? Well, I'm enjoying my new boat. What? You mean where I'm going, there ain't going to be no boats? Ain't going to be no water. Ain't going to be no boats. You know, so I thought to myself, that's kind of, more men need a voice spoken to them like that to kind of straighten them up. You know, sometimes if we would, you know, if we would only get a little bit of that kind of word from God, it might straighten us up. But anyway, a lot of men, it seems like it makes no difference. But this man here with Jenna's dad, I mean, he was a really spiritual man, and him and his wife both, and they wanted the little girl healed. And when I told them the problem was theirs, but we had to find out what their problem was, we began to ask the Lord. And in fact, Richard, the husband, he said, how do I do this, Thurman? I said, well, Jeremiah 33:3, he clearly says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you know not. So I said, I want you to pray, Richard. And I said, now, I don't want your wife to pray. I said, I want you to pray. Right. See, the average Christian woman has never got a hold of the fact that she can't pray for herself. She's supposed to submit herself to her husband in all things. Amen. So most women don't do that. And so they go around praying for themselves. My own wife, after God brought Cheryl to me and she became my wife, it wasn't but a few months. We were laying in bed one night, 2 o'clock in the morning. She wakes me up and she says, honey, you've got to pray for me. I've got a burning fire in my stomach. I said, well, how long have you had it? And she said, about 2 days. I said, 2 days? I said, why didn't you call me 2 days ago? Instead of waiting until 2 o'clock in the morning to wake me up. She said, well, I've been praying for myself. I said, woman, what do you not understand about wives? Right. Wives, you must submit everything to your own husband. Right. And she said, well, I've always prayed for myself. I said, but you haven't been married to me for all that time. I said, for 24 years, you were a woman that was just married to nobody. And since you were married to nobody, Jesus, you had direct access to Jesus. And so I said, you can go directly to the Father in the name of Jesus, just like anybody else. But when you married me, the rules changed. And she didn't understand. She said, I didn't know that. And I said, well, it doesn't make any difference whether you know it or not. The scripture says that when God gives us all these new rules, he holds us accountable for everything in the book, whether we know it or not. Now that's kind of scary. When God says, I hold you accountable for everything in the book, whether you know it or not. So I said, honey, you need to repent and tell God you're sorry. And so she did. She's laying right there beside me in the dark. And she said, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't know. And Lord, I repent. And from now on, I will call on my husband to pray for me. And so I said, okay. And I reached over and laid my hand on her stomach. And I said, in the name of Jesus. And that's all I had to say. When I said, in the name of Jesus, bam. Just like that. I mean, her pain went away, her whatever indigestion or whatever it was that had been bothering her for 2 days was gone. Now, let me tell you what. Once she experienced that experience, once she got that and she saw how quickly God healed her, she had been praying for for herself for 2 days with no results whatsoever. And all of a sudden, just by a laying on, an obedience, a repenting of a sin, and a laying on of hands, do it God's way, she was instantly healed. Let me tell you what, she remembers that to this day clear. And any time this girl needs to be prayed for, guess who she looks up? Her husband. Because she knows. Now, and of course, I didn't really know the importance of this even myself, how important it is that the husband keep himself clean and pure and holy, so when he touches his wife, the power of God can flow into his wife and she can get instantly healed right there. So if that woman, if the husband, if he stays tuned into God, I mean, I'm talking about really tuned into God, I can also go back and tell you one time that Cheryl come to me after she learned these principles. She came to me one day and she said, honey, look right here. She pulled her dress down a little bit. She said, you see that thing right there? I said, yes. And she said, I know what that is and I don't like it. And so she said, I want you to kick that thing out of me in the name of Jesus. I said, okay. So I laid my hand on it, cursed it, commanded it to leave and everything in Jesus' name. I said, it's done. Well, the next day she come to me and she says, you need to pray for that thing again. I said, every time you pray for me, it happens right then, but this time it didn't happen, so you need to pray again. Okay, so I pray again. The third day she comes back and she looks me right now and says, where have you sinned? I said, what do you mean? She said, that thing is still there. She said, I don't want it there. Usually when you pray for me, it goes away the first day. Whatever it is you pray for, she said, I can have a zit on my face and you can pray for it and it's gone in 1 day. She said, so if something is wrong, you must have sinned. Right. So see, I'm the responsible culprit, right? Not her. Right. I am. So, you know, so she's, anyway, I told her, I said, well, Lord, I repent for all sin. If I've done something, I don't know what it is. But did you know it's very easy to sin and not know what you've done? Yeah. You know how easy it is to sin? Yeah. When Dave said a while ago there, Romans 14:23, anything that's not of faith is sin. So it's real easy to sin. And so, anyway, when Richard, when he came to me and he says, now, Thurman, how do I do this? I said, well, since you're the spiritual head of the house and you're responsible, I want you and your wife, I want both of y'all to get together. I want you to get on your knees and pray and ask the Lord to reveal to you, according to Jeremiah 33:3, what you've done that caused your child to be born with this eczema all over his body. Just think, when the Lord says, if you do not obey me and do everything I say, I will curse you and your children. I mean, people don't believe that. They said, but anyway, it means what it says. So Richard, him and his wife started praying. He said, Thurman, how long do I pray? I said, well, you pray till you get an answer. I don't know how long it's going to take. I said, it may take a day, it may take a week, it may take a month, it may take 6 months. I don't know what it's going to take. But I said, don't give up, because God says in his word, all of his promises are yes and amen. Amen. So he wants to heal that little girl, but I said, there's something, a sin somewhere that's holding it back. So anyway, they began to pray every day, morning and noon and night, and they prayed, and Richard led the prayer, and his wife was just there with him. And I said, and always when you pray, then thank the Lord for your answer. Amen. Do all things with prayer with thanksgiving. Is that what he said? Yes. So if he says thank him for it, then you better thank him in advance. Amen. And so if you want to get an answer, because he might not answer you if you don't do it his way. You know, isn't it amazing? Just because he's God, he thinks he can have everything his way. Isn't that amazing? And so since he is just God, can he do it the way he wants to? He can give you your answer. He can cut your answer off, can't he, son? I guarantee. So anyway, they begin to pray every day. And finally, after a few days, three weeks, his wife called me one day and says, "Pastor, we've got an answer this morning." She says, "When I woke up this morning, I heard two words, lying and deception." Now, have you ever read in the scripture where it says God hates liars? He hates deception. So if he hates lying, why do so many people lie? Especially Christians. Now, I know that none of y'all in here ever would do anything like that. You wouldn't possibly lie, would you?
Amen.
We definitely don't want to lie anyway, do we? So anyway, when you said lying and deception, I said, "Sally, do you have any idea what that means?" And she said, "Well, I do." She says, "When I was 39 years old, my husband was 43. And she said, "I went to my husband and told him one day, 'Honey, before I get too old, I want to have one more baby.'" And my husband said, "Honey, I'm 43 years old. We start trying to have a baby now, I might wind up with a child in high school when I'm in my 60s. And that's possible, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he said, I don't want no more children. We've got all the children we need. Now then, who's supposed to be the spiritual head of the house? The husband. The final authority, they discussed the situation, and the final authority was his. And he says, "We don't want no more kids." So since he says we don't want any more children, what is her job now?
To keep no more children.
So she said, "Okay, I will do my best. I will do everything I can to keep from getting pregnant." But she said, "Pastor, I lied to my husband. I did everything I could to get pregnant. And then when I got pregnant, I went to my husband and said, 'Oh, honey, I was doing everything I could to keep him getting pregnant, but it must be God's will for us to have another child because I am pregnant.'" Now then, she's putting the monkey on him, on God and everybody else. That's kind of the way we are. That's kind of like in the Garden of Eden. Y'all remember we had an incident like that? "Lord, that woman you gave me." That sounds like me. "Lord, that woman you gave me. She's a culprit." Yeah. She's out here doing all this stuff. "Lord, you know I didn't want to do this." But anyway, I said, "Well, did you ask your husband to forgive you?" And she said, "I did." Okay, so she asked her husband to forgive her. And I said, "Did he forgive you?" And she said, "Oh, yes. Said, you know, he loves our little daughter. He wouldn't take a million for her." He said, when we first started talking about it, he didn't want another child. But you can all understand if you were going to have another child and you didn't have one, but yet a few months later or a year or two later, you did get pregnant and you had one, you know you wouldn't want to send it back. You know, you'd want to keep it. And so, you know, when you look at those little things, God just put something in there. When you see that tiny little thing, you think, "Oh, Lord, look at that little sweetheart. Isn't she sweet?" And so, you know, so anyway, you know, I said, "Well, so your husband forgave you." I said, did you ask God to forgive you? She said, "Yes, I did." I said, "Okay, the scriptures is clear that any time we confess our sin, how much of the time does he forgive us?"
Oh.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, yeah.
To have a God that, no matter what you do, when you mess up, you come to him and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm sorry, I lied. I won't do this no more. I want you to forgive me. And so now, Lord, thank you for forgiving me for what I did." And so... Then when she said that, I said, "Now then, I can pray the prayer of faith for the healing of your baby." And she says, "Well, I really don't want you to pray for the healing of my daughter." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Because now that I've learned it was my sin." See, I've been telling them this for a year and a half, but they don't believe that. You know, I said, you're this year and a half, we're praying for this daughter of yours. And I said, you know, "But now then we can pray for healing." She said, "I don't want to pray for healing. I said, "What do you want to pray for?" She said, "Now that I've learned it was my sin that made her like this, And she said she's got all these awful scars all over her body. And if you've never been here and seen the pictures of Jenna, as you walk out the door right there, those pictures straight ahead as you walk out the door right there against the wall, those are the 8x10 pictures of what she looked like when she had this eczema all over her little body. Then the pictures to the left is what, because the mother said, I want you to pray and ask God to give my daughter a brand new coat of skin with no scars. Now, what kind of faith does it take to do that? I mean, this girl's got faith. Now, we've been fighting this battle for a year and a half, and she has been able to see no results. But now, all of a sudden, she has learned that she found the sin. God told her what it was. So now she knows she's on the way to getting her healing and her baby's healing. So she wants that baby to be healed with no scars on her body. And I told her, I said, ma'am, I know the one that can do that. Don't we know the one that can do that?
Amen.
Absolutely. Is anything hard for God?
No.
Oh, absolutely. I love it in Ephesians 3:20 when he says, I can do exceedingly. Ooh, don't we love that?
Yes.
So I don't care when we get somebody comes in here, I don't care what's wrong with them. We, the team that prays and me and Cheryl, we should pray for people, lay hands on people. It doesn't make any difference if what they got missing. The God we serve can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or imagine. So you don't never say, well, I ain't going to go up and get prayed for today because what I got too hard for God. Give me a break. You haven't met the God of Ephesians 3:20 yet. I mean, when you meet him, I mean, when you meet that God that can do exceedingly above all you can even think or imagine, according to the power that worketh in us.
Amen.
So all we need to do is between Sundays is read a little more power.
Amen.
Put a little more power in us and then pray the prayer of faith for people. When we lay hands on people, we should expect, if we're team members of the ministry that's been trained here at this ministry, we have tried our best to train you to be an overcomer, that nothing is impossible with you. Nothing.
Amen.
And we see some pretty awesome prayer reports come out of this place.
All right.
And so we should be able to see anything and everything. There should be absolutely nothing. That's nothing, nothing, nothing is even difficult for God.
Amen.
So anyway, whenever we prayed for little Jenna, and thank God for the complete healing of that baby. Within 2 weeks, that little girl went from the pictures on the right as you walk out and you look to the pictures on the left where there's not a scar on her body, nowhere. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I serve a God that can do anything exceedingly abundantly above all I can think or imagine, according to the power that worketh in us. So I don't mind praying for anybody. In fact, I don't want nobody ever. And when you come in here, if a child has cerebral palsy, I've only seen a couple of cerebral palsy children healed, only a couple. But that's a couple more than I had seen before I seen them. So you know, the first cerebral palsy child I prayed for, I was up in the north somewhere and they brought this little girl in a wheelchair, all cerebral palsy. And so they wanted me to pray for her. And I said, well, I said, I will pray for her, but I want y'all to know I've never seen a cerebral palsy person healed at this point. So obviously I don't have the faith. I said, I'm going to pray because y'all asked me to, but I've never seen one healed. So obviously the problem is not with God. So the problem's got to be with me. So I obviously don't have the faith I need to get a cerebral palsy child healed. This pastor of that church came over and told me, said, sir, I want to tell you something. You just confirmed to me that you are a true man of God. I said, what do you mean? He said, I told the Lord, said, I was coming in here a while ago. We were going to bring this girl in here. I said, Lord, I'm going to have this man that's supposedly a great man of faith. I'm going to have him pray for this little girl, and I'm going to see what happens. And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, Thurman does not have the faith yet to get that daughter healed.
All right.
And so said, you told us up front. You didn't believe you had the faith, but said you prayed anyway. But he said, one thing about it I do know, at least you're honest. You know? So anyway, sitting right in here in one of our ministry rooms a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, there was a man called me, and he says, I've got a friend and his wife that has a little, I think she was 4 years old, girl that has cerebral palsy. And I said, would you pray for her? And I said, absolutely I will. I said, are they there with you? And he said, yes. I said, can you send them over here? I want to talk to them. And he said, sure, they'll come over. And so in about 30 minutes, they drove up and we walked into the ministry room. And I said, okay, come in here and sit down. I said, I want to tell y'all something I have learned. I said, this may be a little hard to swallow, but I want you to know that every child that I have ever dealt with, that I've talked to the parents about, every one of them, without exception, every child that has cerebral palsy, the mother or the father or both of them committed adultery when the child was in the mother's womb. That's a big one, isn't it?
Yes.
Every child. I said, now I've checked out several people, and every person I've talked to that has a child with cerebral palsy, one or two, and I said, so far I've never been able to get both of them together to repent, but to y'all came together. I said, so I want you to know that I believe with all my heart that God can heal a cerebral palsy child as easy as he can heal anything else. I don't believe anything's difficult for God. I believe the only reason we don't see cerebral palsy children healed is because we don't repent of that sin. So I said, I tell you what I want y'all to do. I want to know, has either one of you two, when they got here, I said, has either one of you committed adultery? Did you commit adultery when that child was in this mother's womb? And she turned and looked at him and said, he did. And I said, sir, did you commit adultery with another woman while your wife was carrying your baby in her womb? He said, I did. He said, I did that. He said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. He said, I've repented to God. I've repented to my wife. I've asked her to forgive me. I've asked God to forgive me. I said, okay. I said, young lady, then we're down to you. She said, but I didn't do it. I said, but you're the one that's holding the door open for the child to stay sick. You're the one. I said, you have not forgiven your husband for the adultery. She said, you're right. I have not forgiven him. I said, and that child will never get healed of cerebral palsy as long as you do not forgive your husband. You have to forgive. She said, you mean he did it and I'm the one that's keeping it from happening? I said, that's right. I said, you are the one. And I said, you've got to repent. You got to ask God to forgive you. You got to ask your husband to forgive you for holding that door open. She repented, and she, with tears, she asked God to forgive her. She asked her husband to forgive her. They both repented, both of them, to God and everything. And I said, now then, I'm going to lay hands on this little child. I think she was 4 years old. And I'm going to ask God to heal this child. And I said, now then, if you two will walk in love. And I said, if I ever told anybody in my life, the only commandment that Jesus gives us is to love one another. Under the new covenant, I don't care what anybody tells you about the law or grace or nothing else, there's only one law.
Right.
Walk in love.
Amen.
Is that true?
That's right.
So I said, if you two will stay in that love walk, forgive each other, keep that door closed, make sure you walk in love. About 4 months or 5 months, maybe 6 months later, that couple came by here to see me and said, we wanted to come by and see you and let you see our daughter. And that little girl was completely normal. Now see, if you don't know all the principles of the kingdom and how it works, that little girl would stay sick. And that I know I had another case one time of a little child like that, that the mother got extremely upset at the father because he did something that messed up the child. And she would not forgive her husband for that. And that child, I got that child nearly healed, but it would relapse. And I finally told her, I said, ma'am, until you forgive your husband for what he done, this child is never going to be healed. She said, you tell me you think that my child, which my husband abused, is like this all because I will not forgive him? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I think that's the craziest thing I ever heard of. Said that God would never do nothing like that. But he will do something like that. When he says you must forgive each other, you cannot hold a grudge against anybody for anything, or I, God, will turn a tormenting spirit loose on you. You know, obviously the church has missed that because you ask the average Christian, is it possible for me to have a demon? Most people in church would say, absolutely not. You cannot possibly have a demon. But then when I tell you, well, if you've got an open unforgiveness, God the Father sent that demon to torment you, they really go nuts. But that's the way it works. If you want to see children get well, and I'm completely convinced after what I've seen now, and I've checked out, I guess, at least 100 children that have cerebral palsy, and every child, every one of those children that has cerebral palsy had a mother or a father that committed adultery while the mother was carrying the child in her womb, without exception. Now then, only two of those 100 have I been able to get the mother and the father together and get them both to repent to God and to each other for what they done. And then we prayed for it, and the two that we met all the criteria, both of them got healed. Two children with cerebral palsy have been healed. Now then, I remember one time I was watching a crusade here in Dallas, a big healing ministry, and they had on the front row, there must have been 20 or 30 or maybe 40 or 50 kids in wheelchairs that were just in terrible condition. And the healing pastor that was on there, in fact, I'll just tell you who he was. It was Benny Hinn. And I watched him, and if I ever saw a man with love in his heart, when I saw Benny Hinn go down there in front where all those kids are and get down on his knees and say, Father, I don't know what it would take for you to heal these children, but if you will tell me, I will do anything. Now, I'm telling you, that's something else. I will do anything you tell me to do. If you will show me, I will do it so that you can heal these precious little children. But it broke my heart to think about, here is a man of God. I mean, and I believe with all my heart, you may not like Benny Hinn, but I believe he's a true man of God. I believe he loves God with all of his heart. You know, and he wanted those children. I know he loved those children because you could see the love in his heart. He wanted those children healed. But I sat there and watched, and they played, and they had songs, and that's some of the most beautiful praise and worship music you ever seen. It when they have a Benny Hinn crusade. I went to a couple of them, and that's what the worship time is, just out of this world. At least I think so. That's my own personal opinion. Somebody said, well, I don't like him. Well, that's okay. There's some people out there don't like me either, you know, so it doesn't make any difference. You know, I mean, you're never going to find anybody who can find everybody you can love. You know, I mean, God commanded us to do that. But we don't do a very good job. But anyway, I still remember that night sitting there watching that screen and all them little kids in those wheelchairs and everything. And some of you have probably seen those things. He's pleading with God. He's walking by faith. He's walking and pleading. He's doing everything he knows to do to get God to heal those children. He wanted to see that. But, you know, I'm sitting there myself thinking, God, why? Why? I mean, I don't understand this. And this is probably 15 or 20 years ago whenever I was seeing this. I'm asking God, I don't understand why. I know the promises of God. I know you said we could ask for anything, you'll do it. But these children are not being healed. Now, there's other people come up there, you know, they got healed. There was all kinds of things happening. But these children, which are so, and they appear to all have some kind of cerebral palsy or terrible, terrible problems with their body. None of those kids, none of them got out of those wheels. Not one single one. Now then I look back and see God wanted to heal those children just like he did everybody else. But he couldn't heal them because of the sin that put them there. The adultery, the fornication, you know, and that's like that girl out there and a pastor out in West Texas. He called me one day and he said, Thurman, I don't know you personally, but he said, you've got to stop preaching what you're preaching. I said, what do you mean? He said, I got a woman that works for me here. She's got a child that has cerebral palsy. And he said, she was a normal girl until she listened to one of your sermons where you said, if you have a cerebral palsy child, you committed adultery with another person while you were carrying your child in your womb. And she said, it destroyed her. I said, well, did she commit adultery? And he said, yes, she did. I said, well, all I got to say is she should have heard my message before she did what she did.
Amen.
See, I said, if she had have heard and listened and said, you know, Pastor Thurman says if I go to bed with some guy and I have sex with a man that I'm not married to and I'm married to somebody else and I'm carrying his baby, my child could very well be born with cerebral palsy. You know, she would say, I ain't going to do that. I don't want to take that chance. So, you know, what if you were right? If you're right, but just think of the children. I know several, and I would like for you, if you're listening to this tape or anything, I would like for you, if you know anybody that is a cerebral palsy child in the family, I'd like for you to go to that family and if they're in your family and ask them, do you know if there was any adultery taking place while you were carrying this baby in your womb? If they'll tell you, I'd like to know, because to this point, I have never seen one that wasn't. Every child, at least 100, at least maybe more than 100, but at least 100 children that have cerebral palsy, every one of them, the mother or the father, or both of them in some cases, sometimes the daddy would go out and commit an adulterous act with another woman or whatever, and then the mother would get all upset, and she'd go out and have sex with somebody else, and now she's sinned, and both of them have sinned. You see what I mean? And so then we wind up with all these poor little children. You know, I remember the night that I was sitting there when Benny was pleading with God to show him what the problem was. He said, Lord, if you'll just tell me what it is, I'll do it. I'll do anything to see you heal these children. I remember thanking myself, Lord, you said we could ask you for anything. So I'm asking you, Father, in Jesus' name, to show me what the problem is, what's causing these children to be born like this with cerebral palsy. I believe with all my heart he began to show me. And over the years, in the last 20 or 30 years, he's shown me all these cases. And he's shown it two of them. Two. Only two can I get the parents together. And they both are willing to repent. Because that one woman down here at Cook's Medical Center, that woman, her child, the husband had done something to the child to abuse it, and the child was going to die. And when I saw it and they asked me if I would go pray for it, I went down there and I saw the situation and I saw what the husband had done. And I said, sir, you've got to forgive. You've got to ask God to forgive you for abusing this child. He said, I have. I'm so sorry I did what I did. And so then I said, okay, ma'am, now I've got to have you ask your husband to forgive you and ask you to forgive him for what you've done. Because I said, as long as we have unforgiveness anywhere, we have an open door to the devil. Do you know that?
Yes.
Anytime you have an unforgiveness or bitterness, you have an open door to the devil, and he's going to take full advantage of all of that benefit he has. He knows and understands the principles of the kingdom. God made him and he knows. And so anyway, I told her, I said, you've got to forgive. And she said, I am never going to forgive him for what he did to this child. You said, you can tell. And I told her, later I called her and I told her, I said, ma'am, I know this is kind of hard to stomach, but do you want to see your baby healed? She said, if it's God's will for my child to get well, he'll get well. I said, ma'am, it is always God's will for us to be healed. I said, but there's a source, a sin, that's keeping your child from receiving that because you're not willing to forgive your husband. The next time I contacted her, it wasn't but about a month later, I told her, I said, ma'am, could I come and sit down with you and talk with you and show you and teach you these principles in the Word of God so that you will forgive your husband? And she says, no, I will not. In fact, I said, well, let me give you my telephone number, and if you change your mind, I'd be happy to come sit down with you because I'd love to see your baby healed. The next contact I had was only a few hours later, and it was her attorney. And she said, if you ever call her again, I will file a suit on you. So we do not want any further contact with you, never, Mr. Scrivener. You get out of her life, and don't you ever call her again. I said, sir, it's only because of my love for this family and this little child that I'm doing what I'm doing. I said, I don't even know them. I said, they contacted me and wanted me to come down to the hospital. And I said, I've learned some things that works. I'm trying my best to get this child healed. He said, if you ever contact her again, we will file suit against you for trying to do good. So anyway, I said, I'm sorry. And so I just backed off. What else? What are you going to do? I mean, so as far as I know, that little child is still handicapped because nobody would acknowledge that it's sin that's causing the problem. The mother, she wouldn't. She thought when I told her that her child was handicapped because of her not willing to forgive her husband. She thought that was the craziest thing she had ever heard in her life. But I can understand. A lot of numbers. I remember when I was at my cousin's church, when I was talking about how your children being sick is caused by the parents. And when church was over, he told me also, Thurman, you got to stop talking like this. He said, this is crazy. He said, you know there's no such thing in the Word of God where God killed a child. And I said, oh, see, but all of y'all know better, see. I told him, I said, you know, how about King David, you know, with Bathsheba and the little baby that was born out of that adulterous affair? I said, what did God do? He thought a minute and he says, my gosh, it says that, best I remember, that God struck the child with sickness and it died in a week. I said, and that's exactly what he did. I said, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, if he never changes, then he killed a baby back there because of adultery, what do you think he's doing today? He's doing the same thing. And so that's when you learn these principles, you learn you have to get rid of the sin. And when you get rid of the sin, God always wants to heal his people. And so I was so amazed. In fact, only a few months ago, this has probably been 4 or 5 years ago now, at least whenever this little child was healed, probably 4 or 5, 6 months ago, one of the men that knows his family happened to call me. And when he did, I said, oh, by the way, the little child that had the cerebral palsy, oh, yeah, he said, praise God, she's doing great. Said she's normal. Everything's perfect. I said, wow, is God awesome or is he awesome? Just think, if we would just let God be God and we would read his word and we would do what he says, isn't it wonderful what God would do for us? You know, I mean, when he says, every act of sexual immorality, I will judge. I will judge every act of sexual immorality. You know, if you're a Christian, and I wonder how many men and women that are Christians that say they're a Christian that have committed adultery with someone else besides their mate, thinking, well, this is okay, but it's not okay. And that's why your life is falling apart, because you've done something. But, you know, thank God, you know, that if you'll continue to repent and walk in love and let God's word do what it will, He will forgive you and He will set you free. And you can be a totally different person. But just think in the scripture. In fact, I want you to meditate on Exodus 15:26. I want us to put Exodus 15:26 up here on the board for a second, and I want you to see what this says. When I read this, it kind of blew me away. Exodus 15:26. Honey, would you read that when you get time?
And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Stop and think about that. What is that saying? If you will diligently hearken to my word. I don't know. Diligently, I guess that means going to church on Christmas and Easter. That should be. You don't think that's enough?
No.
No, I don't think so either. So it means go to church every time the door's open, right?
Yeah.
That means staying up night and late at night reading the Word.
Amen.
Obeying the Word. Reading.
Amen.
Let me see what this owner's manual says. Amen. You shall not. What is it you don't understand about thou shall not?
Yeah, yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But just think. He says, if you will diligently do what I say, you will study the Word, you'll look at the Word. And then he says, if you will do what it says, obey it, then I, who is I? That's God. That's, in other words, somebody says, God would never put sickness on you. You didn't read this verse very well. Because he clearly said there, if you don't obey me and do what I say, then I will put these diseases upon you, which I have put upon the Egyptians. So we find out right there, he put this stuff all on the Egyptians, didn't he? Those sick Egyptians, they were hit by God. You know, when somebody says, you know, God would never put sickness on you. I mean, somewhere it don't connect. That scripture clearly says he will put sickness on you, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Exodus 23:25 and 26. Exodus 23, let's see what Exodus 23:25 and 26 says. I sure will read that to us in just a second when we get it on the board.
And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee.
Okay, now let's look at this one. If we look at this, and if we do what he says, if we meditate on his word, we study his word, we read his word. If we're men, and we read the word to our wives and our children every night like he told us to, I mean, be a living example of Jesus Christ to your family. If you're doing that and doing what God says, he clearly said there that he will put how much sickness on you? He says he will put no sickness on you?
Wait a minute, wait, what did he say over there? I'm sorry, what did he say? And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water.
Yeah.
And I will take sickness away from the midst of
thee.
Oh. Yeah,
yeah. If he takes sickness away, then how much is left?
None.
Hey.
None.
Is that what we like?
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
None. Yeah, none.
We don't want no sickness. So, okay, let me ask it to you like this then. If you obey him and do what he says, he's going to take all sickness away from you and you'll have no sickness. Then if you obey him, how many of us should be sick?
None.
Uh-oh. So now then all of a sudden if we get sick or our children get sick, where do we need to look? Right here. The problem is right here. God is not the culprit. You are. I will have to say he's the culprit that's putting it on you. Because he clearly says there that if you do not obey me, I will put this on you. Did he not?
Yes.
And then let's go to Deuteronomy 28:27 and Deuteronomy 28:27 and 28. I want Cheryl to read those two scriptures to me.
The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt and with the hemorrhoids and with the scab and with the itch whereof thou cannot be healed.
Wow.
The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart.
Okay, so let's think about this a second. Who is it that if we do not obey him, we do not do what he says, Who is it that's going to smite us with all this sickness?
God.
God? I mean, but you know in your right mind that God would never make you sick. I mean, you think he will?
Yes.
My friend from Atlanta.
Yes, he will.
You think he will?
Yes,
huh?
He will. Yes,
I mean, he said so in that word, didn't he, sir?
He will.
So if you want to get him to put some hurt on you, just get out there and start sinning. He'll put it on you, won't he?
He'll put it on you.
Amen. So the best thing you need to do is keep ourselves clean pure and holy, right, brother?
At all times.
At all times. I like the way he said that.
Amen.
At all times. You know, when you stop and think about these scriptures, that scripture, just like that scripture though that said, I will afflict you with the botch of Egypt, with the hemorrhoids, and with the itch that cannot be healed. That's what that little girl out there on the wall, when you walk out, she had the eczema, which is the itch which cannot be healed. I'll tell you, just to give you an idea, we had a guy from Australia call us last time I was on Sid Roth. He said, I heard you say that there's a cause for everything. The curse, in other words, if the curse causes cannot come to rest. And that's scripture. Proverbs 26:2. The curse, which is sickness, cannot come to rest. So he said, when you said that on the Sid Roth show, he said, I thought, okay, if that's true, if the curse causeless cannot come upon me, then that means that me or somebody had to commit a sin, because he said, I was totally, completely normal until I was 7 years of age. He said, from zero time I was born until I was seven, I had no eczema, I was totally healed, everything is working great, and then all of a sudden at seven, I came down with eczema all over my body. And he said, I have now 45 years old and I've been to the best doctors in the world. I've spent thousands of dollars and there ain't no doctor can help my situation. I said, sir, you have been afflicted with a curse that cannot be healed except by God. And he said, well, you said there's a cause. I said, there is. He said, what is it? I said, well, that I don't know. I said, you'll have to go to God and ask him, or I'll have to go to God. And I said, just so you know, I don't have time to go to God for everybody that calls in and says, why am I sick? First of all, I'm not smart enough to categorize all that so I can keep it in order, that's for sure. But I said, you know, the thing about it is that we keep this on a case-by-case deal. I said, you and your wife needs to go, or at least you need to go to God and ask him why you've been sick. Well, I said, God will talk to you. He'll tell you. He says, sir, I'm 45 years old. I've never heard the audible voice of God. God's never spoken to me. I said, he will. I said, you quote Jeremiah 33:3 and tell him you need some help. And I said, he'll show you what's caused this problem. Well, I mean, the next day, the guy contacted us and said, this is the most awesome thing I ever seen. He said, I took that scripture. I read that scripture. He said, I read where it says, call unto me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things you know not. So he said, Lord, I need to know what caused this sickness to come upon me. And then I told him, when you ask, make sure you thank him for the answer. Do all things in prayer with thanksgiving. Do everything the way God said it. And he said, the instant that I did that, the Lord answered me and says, the reason this eczema came upon you when you were seven, because your daddy committed adultery with a woman next door when you were seven. Now, whose fault was it?
The daddy.
Now, then, how many men do you know that's got a family, that's got kids that's under 20 years of age, especially 15 years of age, would even dream about thinking that if they had an out-of-town trip and they had an opportunity to go to bed with some woman while they were out of town, who would ever dream that when they got back home, their kid would be sick or maybe 6 months and then that kid's down with some kind of terrible disease? How many of them you think would ever put it together that it's their sin that they committed adultery while we were out of town?
None of them.
You're right. That's crazy. But we have a precedent, King David. When King David committed adultery, it took a while. That woman Bathsheba carried that child a full 9 months. And it was normal. It appeared to be normal. Everything was normal. But after the 9 months was up, the baby was born, and it was born normal. A little baby, and it was a week, got to be a week old, and it was going good and everything. But God was not happy with King David. Not at all. He was not happy, and he said, every act of sexual immorality will be judged. So he sent the prophet in to tell him what he had done, and he gave him the story, and of course he let King David make his own judgment when he said, the man that did this, this little lamb, who is he? Bring him in. I will have his head. I will kill that man. And that prophet looked off and said,
you.
Ooh. Now, how would you like to set your own judgment?
I know, right?
Yeah. Lord, Lord, what happened? He said, you committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then you killed her husband. I thought that was all hidden. I didn't know anybody knew I did all that. But can you hide anything from God? If you think you're going to hide something from God, you got another thing coming. And so anyway, wow. So King David, he said, now that, and he repented. Oh, Lord God, he repented. And the prophet said, okay, you have repented, and God's not going to kill you. You know, he's going to forgive you, but he's not going to kill you for your sin. But he didn't. He didn't kill him for his sin. But he still had to, it called, but he says, your child. The Lord will strike your child with sickness, and your child will die in 1 week. And is that what happened?
Yes.
That's what happened. That little baby died. Now then, if we'd been on this side of the cross, which we wasn't, we were on that side of the cross. Over here, just like this woman I just told y'all about a while ago, I believe with all my heart that little child that they asked me to come down to Cook's Medical Center, when the husband repented for his sin, if the mother had forgiven her husband and she had asked God to forgive her, I believe with all my heart when I touched that baby, the child would have got healed. That's just like this one person. Another similar case with same kind of deal down at Cook's Medical Center. This little child that was down there was going to die. And when I went down there, the mother called me and wanted me to come deal with the situation. So I went down there. And I asked her, I said, are y'all Christians? And she said, well, I'm a Christian. I asked her husband. He said, well, I'm a Catholic. I said, well, okay. I said, but do you go to church? And he says, some, not very much, but I do go to church a little. And I said, well, do you read the Bible? No, very little. I said, you know, sir, you're doing everything wrong. You're supposed to read God's Word. You're supposed to study it. You're supposed to go to church every Sunday, and you're supposed to tithe. And I said, you're not doing any of that. So I said, I believe with all my heart God is cutting you off. He's cutting your child off. He's taking away from you what he's just given you, a brand new baby. And I said, all because of your sin. Now, he'd never heard anything like that in most people. And that's one of those cases where this other pastor in downtown Dallas said that some of the things Thurman says is a little tough to stomach. But I can't help it. I know what works. And so after this case, when this father, when I told him, I said, will you repent of all your sins? And he said, I will. So he repented and he re-acknowledged that he would accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, that he would do everything right, that he would go to church, that he would tithe, and he would just serve God and do everything. And I said, sir, I believe with all my heart the King that I serve, Jesus Christ, has forgiven you. I walked over to this little child, which I had never seen before. It was about two or three days old, and I laid my hands on that little child, and I just said, be healed in the name of Jesus. And I didn't know for 9 years what happened. 9 years later, that woman walked up to me and Cheryl at a fish fry. Yeah, 6 years ago now. But that was 9 years. So 6 years ago, that little child, that mother walked up to me and Cheryl. I had never seen her, I mean, since that time. She walked up to me and she said, Pastor Thurman, I want you to know, me and my family will love you forever. I said, what do you mean you'll love me forever? I don't even know who you are. She said, this son of ours, which is 9 years old, he was the one that they told us was going to die before the night was over. And I called you. I asked my husband if I could have you come down and let you pray over this baby. And he said, yes. And so when I called you, you so graciously came down. You didn't even know us. But you drove all the way to Cook's Medical Center. You talked to my husband, and then you prayed over my husband and prayed over our baby and said, this is a child. You prayed over that night that wasn't going to live. He's 9 years old. Some of the things we talk about here may be a little hard to stomach, but they produce results. That's what I'm grateful for, is results. I mean, you know, so I could have probably went down there and said, well, you know, I don't know what God will do here, but, you know, I will pray for you if you'd like. And you pray, and then you walk off and leave, and the child dies. You know, you got to find the cause. There is the curse causeless cannot come to rest. There's got to be a sin. So if you want to start having, if you want to have some results in praying for people, the first thing you need to do, Scott, is find out what their sin is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and Scott's learned that well. I mean, Mike Gracie's learned that well. I mean, you know, they've learned how to get people set free and healed and delivered. I mean, when somebody stops by Mike and Gracie's shop down there to get their car worked on, they leave with more than just a tank full of gas.
Amen.
I mean, they leave with a tank full of power.
Amen.
So that couple, when they pray the prayer of faith for people, things happen, doesn't it, Mike?
Amen.
Wow, praise the Lord. Wow. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Well, in these last days, ladies and gentlemen, we are in the last seconds of the last days, and Jesus is coming again soon. I don't know when he's coming, but I know it ain't going to be long. Too many times now, Cheryl and I, when we do our emails every night, too many times do we say to each other, the whole world has gone crazy. It's gone stupid. I mean, when we see what California is doing and we see everything, the things that's happening, the stupid things that they're doing, things that's crazy that anybody could know, you know. Yeah, we just said that one this morning. We were Christian schools, two schools that were going to play a game of football. They would not allow the Christian schools to pray over the ball game. A Christian school, and you can't pray over a football game? You know, I know that God told me to be a gentle guy, but, you know, if I was there, wherever this was, I believe I'd get a few of these big old bruisers. Maybe like my wimp right here, you know. I could tickle it. Stand up a minute, brother. I'm going to show them what we're going to do with a wimp. Look at this guy. Woo, this guy can pick up 750 pounds, folks. I'm telling you. I need some wimps like him to go with me to the football game. Is that right, Barrett? We could straighten that bunch up out there, couldn't we? Isn't that something? You know, I don't know what's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, when you take a Christian school, not a secular school, Christian school, two of them, and they won't even let them open the football game with a prayer.
They filed suit against the administration that called that. And a judge agreed with it, and now Jay Sekulow has taken it over, and he's taken it to the appeals court.
Praise the Lord!
Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Jay Sekulow.
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you for that man and his love for you and for your kingdom. Lord, you told us to pray and believe that you would do something great. So, Lord, we rebuke the enemy and command the enemy to get his filthy hands off of these kids. And, Lord, do something great with Jay Sekulow and his team as they bring things up in the kingdom of God and get people saved, healed, delivered, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord, thank you for blessing us, and we are so grateful for all these wonderful things that you're doing. And I thank you. Thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.